Asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus said in reply, "The kingdom of God cannot be observed. No one will announce, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is.' Behold, the kingdom of God is among you." Then he said to his disciples, "The days will come when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it. There will be those who will say to you, 'Look, there he is,' or 'Look, here he is.' Do not go off, do not run in pursuit. For just as lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to another, so will the Son of Man be in his day. But first, he must suffer greatly and be rejected by this generation." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
By this point in the Gospel, the Pharisees were already plotting to murder Jesus. So when they came up to ask him when the kingdom of God would come, it was a provocative question. They were first trying to get the crowd aroused, because the crowd, some of whom thought Jesus might be the Messiah, were looking for a Messiah who would finally drive out the Romans. And they wanted to see if he would own up to that opinion. If he didn't, he'd lose the crowds. If he did, then the Romans would be very interested in him. And so Jesus, as he routinely did, transcended the question. The coming of the kingdom of God cannot be observed. No one will announce, "Voila, voici." For behold, the kingdom of God is among you. Why is the kingdom of God among? For a few reasons. First, the kingdom of God is wherever the king is, and the king had already come. Second, the kingdom of God was among them because many had been entering the kingdom already, accepting what Jesus said. There's the couplet in the Our Father Jesus taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The Lord's kingdom is wherever his will is done. But then Jesus had also described so many aspects of the kingdom. He said that the kingdom of God belonged to the poor in spirit, those who treasured the Lord. There were many who, like children, were already accepting the kingdom, turning around and opening themselves up to that reality. That it was like that pearl of great price and the treasure buried in the field, and many had already made it the goal of their hearts. That it would be like leaven or a mustard seed, very small, almost inobservable, growing. Would be like that seed planted in the ground that would bear extraordinary fruit and grow during darkness. All of these were true of the kingdom, and it was happening right in front of them. Pope Benedict, in one of my favorite passages from his pre-papal writings, from an extraordinary discourse given in 2000 to the catechists from around the world who had come for the Jubilee in Rome, said, "The kingdom of God is not a thing. The kingdom of God is God." That to live in the kingdom means not just God as a tiny little part of my life, I believe that he exists, but we live in the kingdom when God becomes the single most decisive reality in our life. There are many who live in that kingdom. It's not something that we're supposed to be looking for on the outside. It's not something that we're supposed to be looking for whose eruption would be like a hurricane. The kingdom of God is something that is already at work. Wherever God is, God. And that's the way to enter. When we've entered the kingdom, we become more and more like the king, the one whom we're seeking, whose principles rule our life. In today's first reading from the Book of Wisdom, we've got a lengthy list of adjectives that describe God, who is wisdom. And the more we live in his kingdom, the more we seek to enflesh these adjectives. It would be tempting, whenever we get a big list in sacred scripture, to just kind of blow them off. That if God knew our own capacity to receive, he'd give it to us really slowly, one at a time. But sometimes he wants us to drink from a fire hydrant, and he will send the Holy Spirit to help us precisely to do that. If we're living in the kingdom, we'll become far more intelligent, because we'll be seeing things with God's eyes. Intellegere literally means to see between the lines, to be able to get beyond the words. And we're able to see between the lines of the world that there's something else happening. Holy means cut off from whatever's not fit from God. Unique. There's nothing quite like it. Jesus uses analogies to try to get us close, but they're never going to be identities. And we should choose it like we haven't chosen anything else before. Manifold. It comes in so many different ways. It has so many different impacts. We shouldn't just be looking for one or two. Subtle. It's not going to bulldoze us. It's going to come quite quietly. Agile. The kingdom of God makes us capable of doing things that we were not able to do before. Clear or brilliant or pure. Changes us so that there's no guile in us. Unstained. Immaculate is that term. Helps us to eliminate from our life the types of things that are not worthy of the Lord. Certain. There's nothing that's a firmer basis than what we receive from God. Not baneful. It's not harmful to others. But rather it loves the good. It doesn't just do the good. It loves the good from within. Keen. Eager, in other words. In order to live in it and help others to enter. Unhampered. That we're free even when we're in jail. Beneficent. It's always seeking not just to will the other's good, but to do it kindly. It's the type of thing that always approaches the other with dignity, firm and secure. It gives us strength, tranquil, brings us to a peace that the world can't give or rob. All powerful, because we can do all things in him who strengthens us. All seeing, that when we look with the eyes of God and see him, then we see all. The saints are those who resemble God in so many of these attributes. Today the church celebrates two saints. I want to comment first on Saint Gertrude, because I'm terribly prejudicial against royalty, being the good American that I am. St. Gertrude was raised in a monastery. She received an education unlike no woman of her time. She was a fabulous Latin scholar and writer. But she recognized in her 20s, through an appearance of the Lord, that she just really wasn't responding to the Lord. She knew a lot, but the Lord had given her all those gifts so that she could become greatly holy. She recognized, even in the monastery, that she was somewhat worldly in her categories. So she said, "Divine wisdom has given me all of these gifts, and yet what have I borne from divine wisdom?" And that's when her deep, deep, deep conversion happened. She hadn't been living a bad life, but to some degree she had been going through the motions. And so she opened herself up fully to God's wisdom, and that's where the Lord poured himself in, almost like a flood. And that's the means, Pope Benedict says, by which she became Gertrude the Great. In her mystical writings, have nourished the Church ever since. St. Margaret, Queen of Scotland, whom we likewise celebrate today, was someone born noble who, in a shipwreck, ended up in Scotland. She and her family were welcomed by the King of Scotland. He fell in love with the young princess, married her, and then she used her office not just to lead her family along the path of divine wisdom, to help her family live in the real kingdom, which is not the one of Scotland, and then sought to help all her subjects do the same, especially the poor and the marginalized, the ignorant, those who were receiving no formal instruction so they wouldn't be able to know God's wisdom. It was her charity that distinguished her the most. Today, as we come forward on their feast days, we ask for their intercession, that our life might be characterized by our seeking to take on all the attributes of the King and his kingdom, by seeking to do his will just as perfectly as they did. In this month of November, how can we not ponder a little bit St. Gertrude's prayer, revealed to her by the Lord, for the holy souls in purgatory, and what she would do in prayer for all the dead, his offer to the Eternal Father, his Son's body and blood. As we do so for all those who have died, we ask them to return the favor by helping us to live in such a way that we are so united with the King and his wisdom that we might go from this kingdom to his eternal kingdom and enjoy eternity with those for whom we now pray. Praise be Jesus Christ.